Take your Bible. We're going to be in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33. Deuteronomy chapter 33. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. All right. Deuteronomy chapter 33. Deuteronomy 33. And we're going to be reading verses 26 through 28. We'll read them out loud together. Deuteronomy 33, verses 26 through 28. We'll read all three verses out loud together. Pause at any punctuation. Deuteronomy 33, verses 26 through 28. And let's begin. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, Destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also his heaven shall drop down dew. Let's pray. God, we do thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for waking up this morning, having your mercy and the grace that's been put upon us, Lord, to be able to do what you've called us to do. I thank you, Lord, for it. I ask you please be with our pastor tonight. Lord, thank you for the people that are here. Lord, would you keep the distractions away and help our hearts to be open for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. May be seated.
Give me a minute to get adjusted here, so hang on. Nope, I got it. Thank you. What's that? Yeah. Thank God it's not a skateboard. All right. Of course, this morning I preached a little bit harder than maybe you thought I should or would. I don't know. Doesn't matter. It's what the Lord wanted. But tonight I want to help you. I want to be a blessing tonight. There's a sweet, sweet, sweet truth that I want you to get, and I have needed it much in these last couple of weeks myself. It's one of those truths that as you go through hard times, you need more and more, and I think I can help you tonight. I love Grace Baptist Church. There's not a greater place in all the world. A couple few weeks ago, I was in Maine preaching. If you've never been to Maine, Mainers are a different breed of people. They're rednecks with a northeastern attitude. I don't know. It's kind of crossing a redneck and somebody from Boston. All right. It's about like that. They're just tough, hard people, but they're good people. They're just a little bit different. And I enjoyed being there, enjoyed seeing the church that's growing and things that we've helped and God's used us to help and just an amazing work. And it was good. But there's no place like home. I love the people of this church. I mean that. I love the people of this church probably more than most people love their own family. I love you all very, very much. But there's, let me just wander for a second here. There's a few people here that, of course, I'm not a huggy kind of guy. I'm not one of those people that church, everybody, I don't think people ought to be hugging somebody you're not related to. Fellas, if she's not your wife, don't hug her. Amen. I'm just kind of that nature, and we live in too much of a huggy society, but there are some folks here that, for instance, Brother Jim Bohr. He just had his 93rd birthday this week. Every time I see Brother Jim, I give him a hug. And I love hugging Brother Jim, Korean War veteran, hero, man of God, a faithful Christian servant. Let me tell you, man with the grace of God on his life. I go down, just sit and talk with him, try to be a blessing to him, and I walk away with a bigger blessing than he did. He's just that kind of man. And I love when I leave, I'll pray for him, and then I'll walk over and give him a hug. Can tell you why I love him. I love to feel those old bony arms of his. And I love to tell Brother Jim how much I love him. He never walks out that door without tears in his eyes saying, Preacher, I love you and I needed that today. Not a one time. He'll never know how much he encourages this preacher. I love to stand at the door, and the number of ladies that this affects is very few. But there's a few ladies in here old enough to be my mom, and a few of them give me a hug when they come through. And I appreciate that. I do. I know what that means, and I love those. By the way, they're much older, right? But I love those mom hugs. My mom's been in heaven for nearly 4 years now, and there's some of them that just, I'm going to be your mama, whether you like it or not. Yes, ma'am. My daddy taught me two words. Son, if you don't learn anything, learn these two words to be married. Yes, ma'am. So I got it, amen? And I enjoy that. I enjoy those sweet, precious white-haired ladies that are old enough to be my mom that occasionally do that. Our arms are used for so much. Our arms help us with balance. Didn't help me much, but they sometimes are used to hold ourselves up and crutch yourself around or whatever, to lean on, keep you from falling sometimes. They give you leverage. Your arms are used to help carry things. It's amazing how much you use your arms. Try putting one up and not using it all once. Find out how much you use your arms for. Just tape it to your, strap it to your body one day and try to go for a couple hours and not use one of your arms. You'll find out how much you use that arm. So, well, it's not my strong arm. You still need it. I promise you, you still need it. It helps you with heavy loads and big loads. And it's a way we sometimes use our arms to express our love by giving someone a hug, that type of thing. One of the sweetest statements in all the Bible to me is found in verse 27. I want you to look at it with me. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. No matter how bad it gets, God's our refuge. No matter how far down I fall, Brother Jim, underneath are his everlasting arms. Notice it says everlasting arms, not just his arms, his everlasting arms. They're not only a refuge, but they're there forever to hold us. We sing the song often, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Thank God I don't have to lean on him. He's just holding me up. I'm not leaning on him. He done caught me, amen? And he's just holding on to me to keep me from hitting the rest of the way. I really believe God kept me from worse injury on my fall because he said, let me catch you. I have a feeling he said, you fool, you fool. No. But he could have, it could have been much, 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 much worse. Thank God for it. Just as I love those mom hugs, just as I long and love those hugs from Brother Jim, can I tell you something? God looks forward to hugging us. How come we push him away? How come we want to blame him for the pain instead of go to him for the comfort that he wants to be? When I spend time at the bedside with someone dying, Brother Scott, you were in the room when your mama was going to heaven. You heard me tell her. I said, when you get there, do me a favor. I want you to give my mama a hug, and I want you to give Jesus a hug for me. She said, I'll do it. Miss Loretta, when Jimbo was going, I gave him permission to give my mama a hug. I said, would you give the Lord a hug for me, preacher? Yes, sir. And many, many, many others. I don't know how many people have gone to heaven and given Jesus a hug for me, but can I tell you something? I want him to know I love him. I look forward to the day. Can you imagine walking up to Jesus in heaven and be able to put your arms around him and tell him you love him? Whew. Then why don't we do it now? Why don't we do it now? How sweet it is when the call comes, when those folks that I've talked to cross over to Jordan's other side. I look up and say, I love you too, Jesus. Because I know he's getting a hug. You see, I know that I want my Lord to know that I love him, but he wants to love us back. Why do we push away from him? Again, I'm going to say this. I'm not for this touchy-feely, huggy, go around, hug everybody kind of church. But I do think there ought to be a revival of hugging in our homes and within our families and with our God. Let me give you a few thoughts tonight and I'll conclude. Number one, God has arms that protect us. God has arms that protect us. I love my daddy. 85, 95. 105? No. I've known him my whole life. But I love my dad. My dad's not a hugger. But I promise you, every time I see my dad, before I tell him goodbye, I give him a hug. Because I love my dad. Can I tell you something? I love my Heavenly Father. Why shouldn't we hug him? God is the strongest in all the universe. Isaiah 51 verse 5. Bible says, my righteousness is near, my salvation is gone forth, and mine arms shall judge the people, the isles shall wait upon me, and on my arm shall they trust. How come we don't trust God? How come we don't trust his arms? There's been many a days that life doesn't go well. I remember when my daughter lost twins. And I said, it's okay, honey. They're in heaven. They're fine. And I've been there. I've had to hug people and my own children as they become adults and get them through tough times. I don't understand it, but I do know this. When God gives you a hug, everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. You can trust him. When God's got his arms around you, guess what? The devil can't get to you. You think the devil's going to take a shot at you while God's got his arms around you? Uh-uh. Not going to happen that way. He puts his arms around us, but I want you to notice something, what God said in Deuteronomy 33 again. The eternal God is our refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He doesn't just give you a hug, he picks you up and carries you. Whew. I was flat on my back with this foot throbbing one day. My wife had gone somewhere for a little bit. And I just said, Lord, am I going to be able to keep serving you? Can I keep up the pace? And I felt the underneath, the everlasting arms of God. And he said, I got it, son. It's going to be all right. You can't be hard-headed, but you're going to have to do it. But you'll get through it. I believe everything's all right. Amen. I felt those arms underneath catch me. Yes. And said, all right, I can make it. I can make it. And so can you. But while he's holding us, guess what? The devil's not going to take another shot. He puts his arms under us to keep us from falling. It's interesting, if you study the eagle, eagles make their nests way, way, way up. And once the eaglets get to the point where they should leave the nest and learn to fly, it's a frightening thing. Those eagles will actually take that eaglet and they'll push it out of the nest and make it fall. And it starts tumbling. And that mom or dad eagle will will let that thing flutter and flop for thousands of feet. And at the last second before it hits the ground, it'll fly underneath it and catch it on its back and pick it up. And it'll take it way, 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 way up above the nest. And it'll fly around and then it'll tip itself and drop it again. And that's how the eagle begins to learn to fly. And all of a sudden, eventually, that eaglet gets it together and says, maybe I better learn from this. And they begin to glide a little bit. Can I tell you something? There's never been a recorded time anywhere that an eaglet has ever died from a parent doing that. They've always caught them. That's what God does. Say, but preacher, I feel like he dropped me out of the nest. Yeah, because he's teaching it fly. So, well, that's a little scary. Yeah, but you got to learn to fly. Can't live in the nest forever. You got to get out and get going, and you got to let God help you, but he'll catch you if you're falling too far. He'll pick you up and take you on. He puts his arms around us to show us how much he loves us. Can I tell you something? You can trust God. Let me say that again. You can trust God. I am sick and tired up to here of religion that tells you that everything happens as part of God's will for your life. That's a bunch of garbage. A perfect God could plan the earth, the life on earth, a whole lot better than this. We're sinners. We mess up what God wants. Everything that happens isn't because God wanted it. I don't think God wanted that tree stand to break and me to fall out of it and break my heel. But I do think he caught me and kept me from worse damage. I should have landed on my head and it wouldn't hurt anything. But can I tell you something? I don't think it was God's will for me to fall out of the tree stand and break my heel like that. But I think God's going to get all the glory he can from it. Brother Jim and I are going to have cripple races here before too long. He's going to use his walker and I'm going to use my scooter. My money's on him too. Now wait a minute. There's something to be learned from it, but can I tell you something? Romans 8:28 didn't say that you're not going to have problems. That all things work together for good. It didn't say it's going to work together for my good. He said he'd get all the good he could out of every situation. And all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. But it didn't say everything was going to be good for me. So quit believing the lie of, well, whatever happens, this is what God wanted. By the way, when somebody dies, God didn't take them. Sin causes death, not God. The wages of sin is death, not the wages of God. God gives eternal life. Matter of fact, God says we pass from death to life if we're saved. This is death. Life's ahead of us. So, God has arms that protect you. Why, when God wants to protect you, do you want to push him away? Number two, God has arms of comfort. Turn to Mark chapter 9 for a moment. Mark chapter 9, this is a sweet verse. It's also found in Luke 10, but I'm going to just read Mark 9, 36 tonight. Let's look at Mark 9, verse 35. And he sat down, speaking of Jesus, and called the 12 and said unto them, if any man desire to be first in be first, the same shall be last of all, and the servant of all. And he took a child and set him in the midst, and when he had taken him in his what? He said unto them, whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name receiveth me. Whosoever shall receive me receiveth me, not me, but him that sent me. Understand something. Jesus said, you want to learn to be first? Then learn how to love like a child. I'm going to make a statement here. Usually children know who they can trust and who they can't. Children are good trust indicators. They really are. Now, they're a bit simple the younger they are, but they get middle childish age. You know, you get up around that 8, 10, 11 years old, they become an indicator of those they can trust and those they cannot. Listen to me very carefully here. Children know, they're good at discerning love. I love the children of our church. Now, I'm a little hard on the boys because boys are ugly and they're like rubber balls. The harder you throw them, the faster they come back. I reared two, I know. But boys don't like all the tickle-feely and all that. I mean, they like being a little bit rough, and it's okay. I'm not there to hurt any of them, but I love them. I want them to grow up and be good men. I want them to be strong men, but I also want them to know their preacher loves them. I want them to know they can trust their preacher. When the hard times come, that they can come talk to their preacher. They need somebody to be able to come to that isn't mom and isn't dad and that'll listen. God wants to comfort you as your heart hurts, but many push God away. I'm going to make a statement here. I hear this more times than I care to think about. Somebody has a family member die and they say, well, the hardest place for me to go is church. That'll be the easiest place for you to go. If it's hard, it's because your heart is hard, not because God is. Going to church ought to be a place that you welcome when you lose someone, not be the last place you want to go. Amen. You see, too many times we want to push people away instead of love them. I didn't say that you have to accept the wrong that they do, but they still need loved. I've had to help families through a lot of tough days. Wait till your teenage daughter is pregnant out of wedlock. And you have to tell the family. Been there. But the young person knows their preacher loves them. I don't approve of what they did, but I'm still going to love them. We're not going to throw them in the trash and say, you're worthless. No, 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 no. We'll build them. We'll get them back. They're going to have a tougher go. But we're going to love them. Everybody doing okay? And if you say, well, I don't think that's the way it should be, then you need to get at this altar and it's big enough for your tongue. Amen. And you need to get your heart right with God because God said, those are my kids. Amen. Everybody doing all right? I'm just saying it. I'm going to make a couple statements here. You may or may not like it, but I don't care. Didn't ask you. We need a revival of parents learning to hug their children every day. We need a revival of children initiating hugs to their parents every day. It should go both ways. We need a revival of husbands and wives hugging each other each day. I don't remember the last time my wife and I went through a whole day without me hugging her or vice versa. Don't pay a whole lot of attention to it because we do it so much, thank God. I wonder how long has it been? You know, fellas, I'm not a sissy britches. Brother Scott, I ain't wearing no dress, amen? I'll cut the britches leg off a couple pair of pants till I get a new boot, but I ain't wearing no dress, all right? That's just new. Shoot me with my own gun at that point. But may I say something? I'm for being rough and tough, but not to the point where people are, or where my own family is afraid of me. My children shouldn't be afraid to hug me. My grandson shouldn't be afraid of Pawpaw. My son-in-law and daughter-in-law shouldn't be afraid of Dad. I don't know how many times my son-in-law has called me in the last several weeks, Dad, I got a question. Dad, I got a question. Dad, I got a question. I love it. I'll hang the phone up and look at my wife and say, man, I love it. He calls me when he's got a dad question. That thrills my soul. By the way, his mama went to heaven just 3 months before my mama did. His mom was 52 when she died. Mine was 78. 3 months after they got married, his mom died. I wish you could see my son-in-law around my wife. That's his mom. He treats her that way. I respect that. Did you hear what I said? I respect that. I'm going to make a few other statements here. We need to hug those who are of the same gender that need it. There's an appropriate way for a man to hug another man. It's usually an arm this way and slap on the shoulder. My dear friend and my neighbor was here yesterday for prayer breakfast, Richard. He's dying of cancer. Honestly, I wasn't sure he was going to make it. I'm not sure how many days he's got left. He's getting real bad real fast. But every time I see him, I give him a hug. I texted his wife this morning and told her, I said, I appreciate you letting him come. I know it was extremely hard on him physically. She said, it may have been hard on him physically, but it's the best thing to ever happen to him, because he said it's the most powerful thing he's ever been to in his whole life was yesterday. As our men gathered around him, put their hands on him, and we prayed for him, he wept like a baby. Got saved at a funeral I did 6 years ago. Moved in, never even met my neighbor, and ended up doing a man's funeral. He got saved, and boy, he latched on to me, and he's asked me to do part of his funeral at the Catholic Church. Not kidding. Crossed my heart. He said, my priest isn't going to give the gospel. You will, so I want you to give the gospel. I said, are you sure he's going to be okay with it? He said, don't ask, because he doesn't know how to give it like you do. I'm not kidding. He invited me over in front of his wife to ask me that question 2 years ago. I said, preacher, are you going to do it? You better believe it. I say, why? Because I love him. Now, wait a minute. You know, there's days he needs that. There's days we all need that. I'm just going to say it. Teenagers don't need to be running around hugging each other. Amen. Keep your hands off each other. If mom and dad hug you right, then you won't need to hug another teenager. I reared my daughter to hug a man so that she didn't hug a boy. That's why when my daughter was dating, she didn't date a boy, she dated a man. And she married a man. And when I gave him or her to him, I said, you take care of her because I know where you live. By the way, fantastic young man that's done unbelievably well. But my daughter wasn't going to settle for a boy hugging her because she's too used to being hugged by a man. You don't want to lose your daughters. You better teach them how to love a man. Then you ought to be that man. Mamas, you don't want to lose your boys. You better learn how to hug them and then be able to hug you. I got two grown sons, both of them big enough to break you in half. Whereas he said, one can fold your shirt with you in it. Amen. But I wish you could see them around their mama. They're like little puppy dogs. Put their arms around my wife and hug her. Now, don't get between them. They'll break you in half and not think twice. But they're as gentle can be. Can I tell you why? I told them to love their mama. So when my son got married, he knew how to take care of his wife. Boy, that's good stuff. God will use his words to give you a hug when you're hurting. Say, what do I do when I'm hurting, preacher? Go to the Bible.
That's right.
You want a hug from God? Hey, God's word will do it for you. I've got a family that's moving here from a different state here in the next month or so. They've been through unbelievable situation. Unbelievable. He was an assistant pastor and the whole church just blew up and it's a mess. I got him into another church temporarily till they move here. Up the road a little ways. They went to church last Sunday. They've just been sliding in, sliding out. not trying to make any waves, just come in, come out, and get through church till they get here. Walked into church last Sunday. Man walked up and said, "Brother so-and-so, we sure appreciate you coming to our church. We know you've been through a lot. There's an envelope there. We want you to have it." He said, "Well, what's this for?" He said, "Just open it up." And he did, and it was checked for $500. And mind you, this man's lost his job in the last 6 weeks. He said, "What's this for?" He said, "You're a faithful man. We just wanted to tell you we love you." I said, "Well, brother, you just got a hug from God." He said, "Yes, we did." Yes, we did. Can I tell you something? Every once in a while, instead of you saying, "Look at what I got," how about you saying, "Thank you for the hug, God."
Amen.
Thank you for the hug, God. You say, "Well, things aren't going great." God can hug you when it's going good. God can hug you when it's going bad. Number three. God has everlasting arms. Notice Deuteronomy 33 again. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Did you know something? God's not going to die. Brother Jim, no matter how long it is, God's not dead. No matter how bad I've been, God didn't die. And he said, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." We may leave him, but he's not leaving us. When we got saved, the Holy Spirit of God moved inside, and he won't leave us. Now, he's not going to force his way on us, but once we come back to him, he said, "Come on back. I'll help you." God will never die, and his arms will never give out. Ooh, that's a wonderful thought. Can I tell you something? God will never lose his grip on you. No matter how bad the cliff, God's not going to let go. I was wondering if he caught me or not, but he just right to the last second. Amen. You cannot get far enough away from God to be out of his reach. I've seen some young people mess up their lives for years, come back broken and bloody and just not even a smidgen of what they used to be, and look at me and say, "Preacher, do you think God would take me back?" I said, "Nope. I know he will. I know he will."
Yes, sir.
He's been waiting on you all this time.
Yes, sir.
So, "Preacher, I've done some bad things in my life." No nail prints there. We're all sinners.
Yes, sir.
There's not a perfect person in this room. Grace Baptist Church is a hospital, not a museum.
Amen.
We're not museum pieces. We're emergency room patients. Amen. You can refuse to hug God back, but he's going to hug you whether you will or not.
Amen.
I've been there. I've seen family members. You hug them and they won't hug you back. Give you that cold stiffness. Yeah, been there. You may do that to God, but he's going to keep hugging you. Because his arms are everlasting.
Amen.
So, how do we feel God's everlasting arms? Number one, get saved. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've never experienced the real love of God.
Amen.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We are not all God's children. Only those who get saved are God's children.
Amen.
We are all God's creation, but not all of God's children. So, first thing you need to do, and the biggest thing you need to do, is get saved. If you don't know if you'd go to heaven when you die, do me a favor. In about 5 minutes, we'll have an invitation. You come down. We'll have somebody take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure and get saved. Nothing to be ashamed of. We all got to do it. So you might as well do it in a place where people love you and care about you.
Yes.
Number two. Right there. The old King James Bible. Those are God's words. He wrote these words. By the way, any other perversion of it is man's words, not God's words. That's why everybody's got to have a new revision, because they're not getting out of it what they want. Don't change God's words. Read God's words.
Amen.
Don't try to make it say what you want. Read what he said. See, the Bible are God's words and God talking to us. That's why the fake Bibles have no real power. Never been a revival preached anywhere in history out of any other Bible to English-speaking people other than the King James Bible. Never. That ought to tell somebody something. Number three, pray. This is us pouring our heart and our mind out to God and talking to Him. And can I tell you something? As you do that, He'll show you things. With an open Bible and an open heart and mind as you pray, and you talk to God and ask, He'll show you things in days, hours, weeks to come. He'll reveal it through His Word. Listen to me very carefully here. The Holy Spirit cannot work outside the confines of that book right there. God will never tell you to do something that He has not already printed in that book right there. Somebody gets up and says, you got to do this, and it's not in the Bible, do me a favor, don't do it. Because it's not God. Everybody doing okay? All right. I believe that's what church is for. Number four. This is where the family gets together and we learn more about how we're supposed to live. Did you know a child doesn't know how to live? We have to teach them how to live. People are dumb. A cow can be born, and honestly, 2 minutes later, it's up on its feet suckling, and it's got to get going. Every animal in the animal world is like that. People aren't animals, by the way. People are people. God made it for us to teach our children how to live. We're expecting the public schools to teach our children how to live and the government schools. By the way, that's why 30 million of them will vote for somebody that doesn't have enough sense to blow her own nose. A socialist. We have educated ourselves into stupidity. The church is the place to learn how to live. The preacher's supposed to preach how to live. Sermons aren't supposed to be some oratorical theology degree or something like that, and talking in words way over your head and say, boy, wasn't that good? You didn't understand a word of it. How good was it? The Word of God is to teach us how to live. Yes, sir. Church is a place you ought to learn how to live, not think that you're something that you're not. Amen. You might think you're a hot snot on a silver platter, but God says you're nothing but a cold booger on a paper plate. Because we're sinners.
Yes, sir.
Now, that's not in the Bible, by the way. Just thought I'd say that. But this is where we come and gather with our brothers and our sisters and bring new family members in. And we grow and we hear the Word of God and we fellowship with one another. We come out of the nasty, filthy, vile world, come into a place like this, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. It's not cultish. Look how many people were occult today at football stadiums today and yesterday. Some people should call sports a cult. Look what they did in the streets of LA after the World Series. That's cultish. We're not supposed to come out of church tonight and start burning buildings down, turn cars over and beating people. That's what cultism does. This is where we learn how to live and live right. Boy, that's good stuff. Then I think we ought to be a witness for God. We ought to go soul winning. This is where God works through us. This is where we go out and tell others about the Lord. This is going to the rescue mission once a month. And for too long, we'll be starting down at Harmony at Martinsburg here for assisted living and preaching once a month down there and going and helping in outreach and witnessing to people everywhere you go. The gas stations, amen, Miss Kathy? And everywhere you go, Miss... Somebody went to Tucker County yesterday and said, I left a whole bunch of trucks down there, years, preacher. That's fine. I don't even know where Tucker County's at, but praise God. Now, wait a minute. We ought to be telling folks about the Lord and inviting them to church. Say, what is that God working through us? God is not dead. God's word is not dead. And God's word, God will not die, and God's words will not die.
Yes, sir. Amen.
That means this, his church should not die either.
Amen.
We ought to be here. By the way, Jesus opened his arms at Calvary. They laid him on the ground and put him on that old cross. I don't think they had to force his arms out, Brother Scott. I think he reached out and said, go ahead. And he gave the entire world a hug. And said, I'm doing this for you. You see, he died on the cross to show us how much he loved us. But he also died on the cross to pay our sin debt for us. And by the way, his arms will never stop loving us. One of these days, we'll get to heaven. Somebody's going to walk up and put their arms around us. They're going to say, welcome to heaven. And we're going to look and say, thank you, Jesus, as we see those nail-printed hands. Can you imagine how wonderful that'll be? But God said in Deuteronomy 33, and underneath are his everlasting arms. The arms of God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. Who'd say, preacher? Somewhere in that sermon tonight, something I needed. Would you raise your hand?